So turn to the book of Jude. We're going to wrap this book up with the Lord's help this afternoon. And pray, Lord, to help me and give me wisdom and understanding about what we should take a look at next. There's been a lot here in Jude. It's a small book, one chapter, handful of verses, 25 verses. But it's just packed full. It is indeed a wonderful outline about contrast between those obedient, those believers in the Lord, and those that are unbelievers. Many things are said, about that. There's been a focus here upon those that are contrary. The brother greets in his letter, in this epistle, and he challenges the saints of God, those that he's writing to, us, to earnestly contend for the faith as once delivered unto the saints. It was the way God wants it and the way the Lord has ordered it, his plan, his work, in our day, in the church age, he's given that. The way of salvation, the atonement of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the order that the Lord has for us in the church, those are those things that were delivered by the Lord, and it was delivered once unto the saints. We're saved the same way. We operate in the church the same way. We're to do mission work the same way. It's all been settled by the Lord. Ours is to follow Him in it. And so we should earnestly struggle, earnestly contend for that, to hold to those truths. And Olmsted Baptist Church has been swatted at and maligned and kicked at and spit at and that over the years that she's been here because of some of the distinctive things that we stand for, distinctive doctrines that are held in the Scripture that others have gone away. But we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Our faith, our doctrine, is not subject to the change in the culture and how we take it and twist it to the culture to make it more palatable or agreeable to the world. We need to stand for what the Lord has given us. And may He help us. He's helped us to do so as a church, and may we continue to do so as a church. And where we lack doing so as a church and His people, may we line up with the Lord to do so. Amen. We believe we're right, and we want to be right, and may we continue to be right. And where we're not, may the Lord help us to see what is right and follow Him in it. We want to believe what the Lord believes. Amen? And so here are a few verses of challenge. And then in verse number 4, telling about these certain men crept in unawares. All they want to do is destroy, and they're self-serving. Many examples, verses 4 all the way through verse number 19. Okay, what is that? 15 verses, 16 verses or so that tell about that wicked way. Many general examples given, several particular examples given. And then we have this in verse number 20 where we pick it up. But ye. With you, child of God, children of God, saints in the Lord Jesus Christ, church. And that's the context of all the brethren that write in the Scriptures. They're all churchmen. They all believe that the children of God, the people of God, those that are saved, follow the pattern of God. We know from the human standpoint, men change things, but they're all church men. And so he's speaking to us from the church context, okay, and from the church standpoint. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But ye, see, but with ye, it's different. In contrast to those in verse number 19, where it says, they be they, but ye. It's different with the people of God. Where the people of God, as our Lord Jesus Christ, was not self-serving, the people of God should not be self-serving. Our Lord came and did what He did for the sake of us. And we should live for the sake of our Lord and to be a witness of our Lord unto others. That is the calling and ministry of God. He that seeks to hold on to his life will surely lose it. But he that gives his life for my sake and the gospel's will indeed shall find it. And that's the example that we have. But ye, and there's some interesting points like that here. But ye, here in verse number 20 and verse number 19, these be they. We're not of them. They're without the Spirit, but we have the Spirit of God. But ye beloved. And again, remember that word beloved is one of those three words in the, we find in the scripture that are related and connected to agape love. Agapetos is this word. And we are children. We're loved by the Father. We belong in the house, okay? We have our Father, we're kin to the Lord by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we belong in the house. He says, building up, building upon, building thereon, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Sounds like we've got a responsibility. Peter writes to us about the things we need to add to our faith, and we need to be about doing it. This life and walking with the Lord and being saved by the Lord and being a member one of His churches is not a static, stagnant, spectator sport. We need to be busy. He says, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Faith is given by the Lord, but it's possessed by men. And it's to be added to by men. And we need to avail ourselves of the things that the Lord has given us. Here, the next thing that's mentioned is essential, praying in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The faith, he said earlier in the book, we referred to it. He said that we should earnestly contend, verse number 3, rather, earnestly contend for the faith. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith is never this thing that stands by itself. It's not a word that stands by itself where we have sheer grit and determination within, or confidence in self, or confidence in man, or confidence in this world. Faith of the Scripture, this most holy faith, is faith in our Lord. Faith in our Lord. We have faith towards Him. And so we're ever listening to what He has to say, being willing and being ready and being desirous to follow Him, to obey Him in it. Most holy faith, faith in the Lord, we're to be building up ourselves in that most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, prayer really closes the circle. The Lord has a plan that He's working, and He saved us and made us His own. We're just not gliding through this life, but there's a purpose and a plan for us, and there's a pursuit that we're to be about. And we know that the Lord does all things well. And we know there's temptations and there's trials and there's things at hand. We know the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we know that there's many, many things that are out of our hands. But we do have prayer. We have prayer to our Lord. The prayer, and we can go to the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him for help, for strength, for ability to obey Him, to follow Him, to be consistent, to learn His Word, to apply His Word. And indeed, we need to pray in the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be praying, to supplicate, to worship, it even means, pardon me, our Lord. It goes on to say in verse number 21, and this is another point of contrast here, verse 19, these be they. Verse 20, but ye, verse number 21, keep yourselves. Keep. This word keep is speaking about to guard. We need to guard our hearts, don't we? We need to guard the eye gate. We need to guard the ear gate. We need to guard our hearts. Ananias and Sapphira, they listened to the praise potential of men about those in the first church that were giving for the necessity of the saints. And they said, you know what? It'd be nice to give some and have the praise of our brothers and sisters. But you know what? I just can't turn loose of all of it. But if we don't give all of it, then it won't be as praiseworthy as it is with some others. And so then when they said, okay, they gave a portion, and they said, this is all of it, they were found lying to the Lord. And of course, the Spirit of God working there amongst the church, Peter challenged them, said, did you sell the property for this or that? The husband says, yes, we sold it, and that was all of it. He said, you're lying to the Lord. Not to the church. They were lying to the church. But in line to the church, or in line to the Lord, he drops dead. They carried him out and buried him. And Peter's challenge to him is, why has Satan filled thine heart? The man wasn't possessed by Satan, but he started listening to the way what was in the world, the way what made sense and what was attractive amongst men. And he brought that into his heart. He didn't guard his heart. Peter told him, he said, well, it was all yours. It was yours. You could have given a little bit of it. You could give half of it. You could have given all of it. And any of your giving that you would have given would have been just fine. The problem is you lied about it. And you don't lie to the Lord and get by with it. And so he didn't guard his heart. Why is Satan filled by an heart? Satan wasn't there on his shoulder speaking in the ears of Ananias and that. He was listening to that of the world. He had some conviction by the Spirit of God that he needed to do something, but he listened to that junk in the world and he took it to heart, didn't guard his heart. We need to guard our hearts. Keep yourselves in the love, and that is that agape, self-sacrificing love of the Lord. Agape love is always that love with legs on it. Our Lord Jesus proved such, didn't he? He loved us so that he did something for us. It just wasn't talk with the Lord, was it? It was love unto action. He loves us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, considering about the love of God, reading about the love of God, worshiping your Lord for his love for you, and then spreading that love abroad and care for others. The greatest care we can have is that of their souls. Of their souls. They were like we were before we were saved. They're lost and undone and on their way to hell. And without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they have no hope. We need to love them enough to tell them about the love, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourselves. Well, I can't do anything. I'm weak. Listen, naturally, you're right. But spiritually, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We have the Spirit of God living within us. And I think Jesus said he had all power. Right? When he's speaking to the church, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. As he charges his churches, his church there in Jerusalem. I think the Lord living within us, his Spirit living within us, is the same as Jesus living within us. He has every bit of power that we need. Spiritually, we indeed are empowered. Especially the blessing of the Lord upon us who are in his New Testament, local New Testament Baptist church. We've got that, and I don't believe, and I don't believe the scripture supports any kind of second blessing kind of thing, but we've got the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter, too. That's a reminder and a teacher and a stirrer and a working of his people in the working and operation of his churches. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Use those things. Petition our Lord. And may we love our Lord. Listen, I can understand where a brother would say, I just love the doctrine of the Lord. I tell you what, you know why I love the doctrine of the Lord? Because I love him. You can go astray by loving the doctrine more than you love Jesus. Look out. It's the God-man. It's God Almighty whom we're to love. And all things that come from him are instruction and help and blessing to us about the way he thinks and the way he wants us to operate and desires and instructs us to operate and live. His teaching is great and his doctrine is great, but may we not love the doctrine more than we love our Lord. Isn't that what happened with the Pharisees? They loved the Sabbath. But when God that gave them the Sabbath told them that this could be done or that could be done, or a man or a woman could be healed on that day, they said, no, 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 you violate the Sabbath. Jesus told them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, is Brother Jim saying that go ahead and blow off Sunday? Brother Jim didn't say that. Understand the order. We love our Lord. That's the reason we're here today to worship him. Amen? That's his command. And we love him. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy. I like this. The mercy, the compassion. We define mercy as not getting what we deserve. And I think that's a good definition of it that helps us to understand it. But mercy is also, there's an element indeed of compassion, looking for the mercy. We need the compassion of the Lord, don't we? We need it in salvation. We need it in help. You know, I need the Lord for the rest of the time that He's given me on this earth to be compassionate towards me, to help me and give me strength and fill me with the Spirit, help me to be a husband to my wife and be faithful to her, be the right father to my children and grandchildren that I should be, to be the right kind of son to my parents and understand this order. This is the order the way it is. And then to be a pastor to Olmsted Baptist Church. See, if I'm not a good husband to Clarissa, I can't be a fit pastor to Olmsted Baptist Church. If I'm not a right kind of father, and I'm not perfect, I want to be, but if I'm not a right kind of father to my children and grandchildren, I can't be a good pastor to Olmsted Baptist Church. Got to understand the order. If I'm not a good son to my parents, if I pull the Corbin card and are not a good son to my parents, my own parents, and to Cecil and Mary, who are my parents also by virtue of marriage to Clarissa, I can't be a good pastor. And so I need the compassion of the Lord upon me. We do, don't we? We need the Lord's help. And we're back to prayer in that, aren't we? Keep yourselves in the love of God and be basking in that. A brother told me just soon after I came to pastor here, his recommendation to me was, he was a pastor for many, many years, for decades indeed, and he said, preach about Jesus, and preach about Jesus, and tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, and look in your ministry to cultivate a love for the Lord Jesus Christ by the people that you pastor. And if they love the Lord, they indeed will serve. If they love the Lord, they indeed will worship. And we need that. We need to love the Lord. We need to love Him and follow Him and desire Him. Because you know what? Doctrine just by itself will get cold. It'll get stale. It'll get orthodox. And you know what? You can't love anything in and of itself. You can't love orthodoxy just in and of itself. Okay? I tell you what, we love the Lord, who's given us and told us what to believe, who's rescued us and saved us and has made great promises to us. What He tells us comes alive, doesn't it? And we can enjoy it, and we can enjoy Him and see how He's provided so for us. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 5. I skipped over these verses. I want to read them. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, more mature, growing up, okay? Hereby know we that we are in Him, keeping His word. The love of God is perfected. We become more mature by obeying Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Oh, I don't want to obey the Lord in that because I'm going to have to give something up. Look out. This isn't about a giving up thing. This is a thing about having been turned from darkness to light, from being dead and brought to life. We need to obey our Lord, and we show our love to Him by that. Remember in Matthew 24, the Lord telling about end time events and such to His disciples there before His crucifixion. In Matthew 24, verse number 12, and because iniquity, you know what that word iniquity means? Violation of the law. We were just talking about that at lunch. We were talking about it in prayer class. That's all we've got in our world, in our nation, is violation of the law of God. A thought to not tell children that the God-given gender that they have, that we're not to address them as girls and boys. That's there's been an organization that people have entered into that have come up with this kind of thinking, that have published these documents that they've given to teachers that say you squelch children and you gender discriminate and mess them up by calling them girls and boys. I would have never thought. It's moved. Evolution was one step, and now the next step is to destroy this thing where God said, and He made them male and female. He created them, male and female. They're going after that now. Satan's going right after that and the way of man. Because iniquity shall abound, back in Matthew 24:12, the love of many shall wax cold. Violation of the law of God. Agape love, that's the word there for love. In that verse, love with legs on it, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, we can look on at this world and say, it's in a mess, it's in confusion, it's mad. And we can say, what can I do? Well, what you and I can do is live for the Lord in our little piece of the world. And may God help us that we do so. May God help us that we keep ourselves in the love of God, Jude 21, and looking for the mercy, the compassion, as we were speaking earlier, the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He's made us promises, and we know that they're steadfast and sure. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come for us. See, if we go by way of the grave or He comes for us in the rapture, eternal life will be totally and completed when He gives us that body that's like His. We'll be like the angels. That's what the Lord Jesus says. Isn't that something? Angels are strong. And we don't want to be like the angels for the sake of just being strong. But we can be strong for the Lord then. Angels don't have to sleep. And we don't want to be like unto the angels or have a body like that just for the sake of not being able to sleep. But we can do that to serve and worship our Lord, to be with Him. You'll never get tired. We have cottage prayer meetings. We have different times of fellowship. We have special services, our normal services. And the Lord blesses us. We have a good time together. But we get tired and we got to go home and rest, don't we? You're tired now. We're tired now. We've got to go home and rest. One day we won't ever have to go home and rest. We'll be home. We'll be home. Amen? Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy, the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Totally and completely fulfilled in us. We see here, coming on to verse number 22, this element about the care for others. Again, compare this, where the apostle writes, the Lord tells us, but these be they, in verse number 20, but ye, there's a difference there, they, these certain men crept in unawares, these to whom these woes are speaking to, these that speak evil of things that they know not because they don't have the Spirit of God, all they know, verse number 10, is what they know naturally as brute beasts, and they take those things and even corrupt themselves more, but ye, we, as the Lord Jesus, they serve self. We're saved to praise our Lord and to care for His instruction and direction towards us and to care for others. First part of the commission to the church is what? Teach all nations the gospel. That's not a self-serving kind of thing, is it? It'll take effort. It'll take money. It'll take time. It will cost us personally to go and do that. But that's what our Lord's called us to. Amen? Amen? There's care for others. They are for themselves. But the child of God looks to the Lord and cares for others. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was all about fulfilling the will of the Father and for the sake of His people and for His instruction, miracles, signs and wonders that He worked for others. That, like the only real thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did for Himself, but really it was for others too. It helped Peter, James, and John, but he had that moment of respite in His transfiguration. But you know what He and Moses and Elijah were talking about there on the mount? His decease. He would die. Was He going to die for Himself? No, He's going to die for us. He's going to die for His people. And so it goes on here in verse 22, closing out the book, he says, and of some have compassion, looking for the mercy, all right, looking for the mercy, keep yourself, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy, same, a synonym is compassion, and then in verse 22, and of some have compassion, it's the same word as mercy. He's merciful to us. He's compassionate towards us. We need to be compassionate towards other. No greater compassion can we show than to share the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ with sinners. And if some have compassion, and of that of some, that's not talking about picking and choosing. And I understand how it is. Some people are easier to witness to than others. Some people are more receptive or have times of greater receptiveness than others. I understand that. But we need to look to be a witness to all. May God help us. May the Lord help me when I'm afraid, when I lack courage, when we deal with those closest to us. Isn't it hardest to deal with our family? It's the hardest to be a witness seemingly to our family, those that are nearer and nearer and nearer to us. Seems like I can be more open and more straightforward with a stranger than I can be with those close to me. But I mean to be a witness to all. The Lord had compassion on me. I need to have compassion on them. Not because of anything I've got, but because of what the Lord. And if some have had, the Lord has, if some have compassion, mercy, compassion upon them, making a difference. To this word, making a difference in the Greek, to separate thoroughly, to pull them apart, to speak to them, to be discerning with them, make a difference with them. Yeah, bear your heart to them about what the Lord's done for you. Oh yeah, it makes it where we can be abused and we can be scoffed at and made fun of. But that's what we need to do. We need to be willing as our Lord was. We can never make the sacrifice that our Lord made for us. But we do need to be willing to use our lives up for the sake of the Lord. Amen? For the sake of others. That's what we've been called to do. That's what we've been called to do. If some may have compassion, making a difference. Verse number 23, and others save with fear. Yeah, the word is save. The word is save. To deliver, to protect, to preserve. To do well. Oh, we know that we don't save. We don't get in there. We're not the Spirit of God and get in there and save the soul. But we need to pursue this with the greatest sense of urgency and seriousness and necessity. We don't save. But the Lord uses means. We don't save. Something I've been thinking about here lately, how it is with brethren that I've heard of, and an example of different ones that have been saved for years and have ministered for years. How it'll be that someone that the Lord lays upon their heart, they will do more than just give a track, but they will pursue them. Not to the point of aggravation, in the sense, a case of some aggravation, because the Lord was using that ministry to be a witness to them and draw them to Himself, but not just a once fly-by time, but yet another time, and another time, and another time, to put effort in it. And others save with fear. Oh, knowing, having ever before us that they will die in their sins if the Lord doesn't save them. And the Lord's put them in our lives that we might be a good witness of good things in Christ to them. To pray for them. But not only pray for them, to speak to them. And not only to speak to them, but live before them good things in Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Philemon. You remember that? Onesimus has escaped, run into the Apostle Paul. Boy, that was lucky, wasn't it? And no, it was divine. It was of the Lord. He's writing back to his owner. And in Philemon chapter 1, verse number 10, listen to the language the Apostle Paul uses. Philemon chapter 1, verse number 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Boy, he took that pretty close and pretty serious, didn't it? Sounds like he worked with the young man, didn't he? Sounds like he spent time preaching to the young man and talking to the young man and challenging the young man. That young man that had run away from his master, he now indeed loves the Apostle Paul. The Lord saved him. And he has been there working with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul's writing this letter as he's having him go back to his master to make those things right. Yeah, face up to it. He was a slave. He was a slave that had run away. Brother Doug, would you turn off the heat? I don't think we need it. This is one of those in-between days. And so he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Verse number 19. Listen to this. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, anything that is owed, anything that the brother suffered because of this slave running away. Howbeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Now, who saved Philemon? Well, it was the Lord that saved him. Who did the Lord use to carry the gospel and the word to him? The Apostle Paul and those that trooped with him, no doubt. And here he says, you owe me your own self. Wow. Because there is a connection there. There is a strong desire there. There is a work there by the children of God carrying forth. And the way the Lord just uses us as a means to carry the gospel. And when the Lord saves us, the specialness of those that ministered to us and took the time to tell us about Jesus and challenge us in the need of our soul and such as that. It's just there. And so we come back to Jude, and others save with fear. I think that's what he's getting at there, that to be involved with it, to be praying, to fast for the sake of others, to speak to them and challenge them about their need of Christ. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, rescuing them from hell. Rescuing them. And understand, it's the Lord that saves indeed, but the Lord has used means. He uses means. And he seriously uses means. We've got a great calling here. Those that are spoken about here earlier, certain men crept unawares, and these be they, in verse number 19, they don't give a lick about the soul of anybody. Other people are expendable. I've seen it to where there would be those crept in unawares that'd be working their own conniving, and they'll take one that is unwitting, one that they could get to cooperate, and they'll send them right into the jaws of something. They're expendable. That's all they think about, souls and people. They're expendable. I'll get this one to do this and this one to do this. And whether they're destroyed, whether they're disciplined from the church, whether they're ruined because of getting caught up in a terrible thing. The wickedness of man is a terrible, terrible deal, isn't it? And the brother warns us that these things could come in the church. He says, but ye, others save with fear, verse 23, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We've got to get close to them to witness to them. Oh, we don't need to partake of their deeds. No, the Lord Jesus never did he? But he was a witness. Wasn't that one of the gripes that they had with the Lord Jesus Christ? Your master eats with publicans and sinners, harlots, tax collectors, wine bibbers. Was Jesus a wine bibber? No, never, never. But he did witness to them, and he never supported them in their sin. But he preached to them the truth, and we need to do so also. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, even hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. May we understand that we are dealing in eternal matters here. This isn't a game. This isn't big business where millions of dollars are at stake. This is in the affairs being used by the Lord in the affairs of souls. Verse 24, he's closing out. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. Different than that word keep. It is speaking about that we saw earlier, I believe. It's talking about he is able to guard us and to protect us. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Our sin is not going to our sin will not eternally overtake us ever again, will it? Yeah, our lives could be ruined and wasted in this life. Could be. You know what? But if we're looking for the mercy of the Lord and the compassion of the Lord, if we're praying to the Lord to help us, praying in the Holy Spirit of God that He would help us and strengthen us and use us, we love the love of our Lord, the love of God. We keep ourselves in the love of our Lord and our God. We're secure in Christ indeed, and He is able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from our sins overtaking us eternally. Who can take us out of the hand of the Lord? Nothing can it? Not even ourselves. Saved to the uttermost, indeed we are. And not only that, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. I find this very interesting. Present. To stand. To stand. Present you faultless. To present you faultless, and causing to stand faultless, unblemished, before the presence, directly in front of. Can you imagine? I believe it'll be so. That as Brother Stephen saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, he was presented faultless before his Savior there in heaven. The most important place there is in the universe, the throne room of God. Can you believe that? Amen. We do, don't we? We do, because our Lord has told. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, unblemished, without blame, without spot, without wrinkle, before the presence of His glory, His dignity, His honor, His praise, His worship. I don't belong in a place like that. But I'll be brought there by the Lord. Why are you here? Lord, you know. You've brought me here. You've saved me. You've redeemed me. Wow, man, that'd make a Baptist get excited, won't it? His glory, there. It matters. Jim Duke, not because of Jim Duke, but because of the Lord's touch upon Jim Duke. Jim Duke matters to the Lord Jesus Christ as He's sitting there on His throne with the Father. Wow. And the same for you if you're here and you're saved. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory. How can this be? With exceeding joy? Oh, we'll be exceeding joyful, won't we? But He's exceeding joyful. He! It is exceeding joyful. Isn't that what it says? Now unto Him, He's the subject, that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Wow, this word, and I know it's words in the English, but the Greek that this comes from, this exceeding joy, speaking about specifically a welcome. Hello, Jim, you're home. Man, praise the Lord, hallelujah. What a Savior we have. And the brother goes on and wraps it up in verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior. That wisdom again. That wisdom. The wisdom of God is far above anything we can comprehend. He tells us about it, and we enjoy it when we hear it and we see it. He reveals some of it and shows us some of it to us. And indeed, He is a wise God. What a terrible shape we were in. What a terrible quandary we're in. But He came up with the solution. He came up with the gospel. He came up with the perfect way of salvation. And Satan can shoot at that forever and never find a wrinkle, never find a dent, never find a chink, never find an open gap in it. Our salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ is secure, steadfast, and everlasting. To the only wise God, our Savior. Our Savior is God. Our Savior is God. Oh, He is the angel of the Lord, as we talked about this morning, as He deals with men. But He is God. He is God. God and the Son has come and done such great things for us. Those that are without the Spirit don't have a clue. They have no understanding of it. But praise be to God that He's saving us, that we can see some of these things. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor and glory and majesty and dominion. He's over all. And power, both now and ever. What else can you say to that? But amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this. I haven't looked it up. I haven't looked it up to see if it's the case. But you ever think about that word, amen? The Lord Jesus is the amen, right? And that prefix, A, means not. I never thought about that. I don't know if it's so with that word, amen. But see, everything that God has done, everything He will do, everything that He is, His plan, His purpose, His salvation, His gospel and all that, has nothing to do in its origin or its power with men. Amen. But when we say amen, we praise the Lord. It's not of us.